Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
We have liftoff, hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Am I a worst take of the week nominee? We're going to get to that in just a moment. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus. We've got Lucius Alexander rocking with us as always. And you are Turn It On, Leave It On listeners, hashtag Tolo. Make sure you're joining the conversation, 877-881-1053, truckwreck.com. Fan text, love having you with us here in the nation. Gavin out in Oregon with the family. Eric taking some holiday family time as well. And I think Carter will be back with us tomorrow for his final day, but he's coordinating the video from home, I think. But Brian, how the hell are you doing, man? Happy Tuesday.
I'm doing well. Hey, happy Tuesday to you as well, man. It's a good thing we have a quality group that we work with, but I'm excited about the configuration today. Me, you, love working with Lucius, you know that.
We wouldn't be able to survive without
him. We would not be able. This show would be nothing without him.
No.
So excited that we can all bring it together today.
So a couple of quick updates. Cowboys out practicing. It does look like Tyler Guyton has been doing more rehab on the ankle.
There we go.
So he's out there. He's got those umbilical cords, as I like to call them.
The umbilical cords.
But they're really just the resistance bands.
I could say that,
whatever.
Right?
Yes.
Brett Brown and him working together today.
Ryan Flannoy working with the rehab group as well. He's got a brace on his right leg. So he was listed as limited yesterday. I know Shoddy had mentioned hopefully he could go. Ryan Flannoy talked to the media, said hopefully he could go, but... this is going to be tight, man, Thursday.
Yeah, I was talking to some people in the organization, not named Schottenheimer or anybody else, but I was talking to some people that I was thinking, hey, well, is this kind of be, you know, we've seen the end of Ryan Flannoy, and my guy goes, no, there's a chance he could play this week. And I was like going, huh, okay, that's a good deal.
That's my guy.
Yeah, because, like you say, you need to attack this Washington group. I think offensively – there's still some pieces that are going to give the Cowboys problems. But defensively, that's where teams have really got after them, especially their secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like Philadelphia was able to do, for the most part, after the first quarter,
sure,
whatever they wanted. We saw J.J. McCarthy prior to the Cowboys game. He had a career day,
right,
against Washington. So they're definitely banged up. And, man, Bobby Wagner, in Father Time might have finally hit him now. He has not been the same version that he has been throughout his career. Last year, that was one of the big stories on their turnaround, was how good he was, but specifically in pass coverage. Ooh, Bobby Wagner has struggled a big time for Washington. We did get the Cowboys Pro Bowlers. Congratulations to the five Cowboys Pro Bowlers that were announced today. Dak Prescott, Tyler Smith, Brandon Aubrey, Quinnen Williams, and George Pickens, who has set career highs in catches, yards, and touchdowns. It's going to be his first Pro Bowl in his first season with the Cowboys, the only first-time selection in the group. So congratulations to GP3. Shoddy in his presser noting CeeDee Lamb. He was hopeful he could get in there. And maybe CeeDee will be one of the alternates. I mean, now I think it's more so just the honor. You know, I don't know how many players care about going, especially they're not even doing the game anymore. But the honor of
playing
being a
tug
Pro
of war.
Bowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little four square.
Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Strange.
I am amazed, though, the effort that Zeke put into dodgeball. I mean, he was getting into it, you know? And, I think you're right, though, Lucius. The tug of war part of it, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, we play a four square and skip it and everything.
Trivia.
Come on, man.
We had a trivia contest one time, didn't we? Did we have some trivia? We acted like we were playing on the Family Feud or something like that.
Family Feud?
We're doing ridiculous things.
Some of the stuff they've done with the kicking contests is crazy. They're going out on like the beach and seeing who can hit XYZ over here with the kicks. It's nuts what they're doing.
How about shoot footballs in the air and see how many you can catch? Remember that? The guy, the punt returner, you're catching like eight balls.
That can get kind of funny. I do like watching that. You got like six balls. This guy's trying to juggle and see if he can catch the other one.
Let's make a relay of something happening serious here. I want to see who the fastest man in NFL is or something like that. Stop playing with me.
Relays, the strongest man competitions. They used to do that. They used to do the relays. They got rid of that one. But I think now they do like an obstacle course that they try and go through. Micah was super competitive on that.
I would take an NFL Pro Bowl edition of the Gladiators. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about like not like in the sand with the chain mesh and all that. I'm talking like okay, you're on the balance beam with clubs.
The joust. We joust each other. Yeah. Yeah. And
tennis ball avoid, you know, you get to the, you know, you're trying.
These are great athletes and see how good of an athlete you are.
I would love to see that more than I would. I have nothing. The game is ridiculous, but I would like to see, like, the Gladiator show.
Put them on some of those wiped out courses.
Yeah. Yeah, see if they can run through the obstacle course, do some pull-ups to get to the next bar.
You got to duck over this thing that's trying to come and wipe you off.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I would love to see that, too. Maybe. I think that they're workshopping all kinds of ideas for this Pro Bowl, now that they're not
doing
the game.
What was that show that we used to watch where the people, like, biggest fear? I like to see
The Fear Factor?
Fear Factor.
Evidently, fear is not a factor
Rodham
for
wants
you.
Them to eat something.
Aren't they bringing Fear Factor back?
Yeah. I think the Jackass guy's hosting it.
Oh, my gosh.
I forget his name right now.
I'm blanking on his name right now as well. I'm going to figure this out.
Johnny Knox?
Look at Brian.
Listen, I knew the name Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville.
I'm not going to lie. I thought he was no longer with us.
No, he is. We did lose Ryan Dunn.
I was a little worried that maybe Johnny Knoxville had done one stunt too many. And maybe he wasn't with us.
I don't know how with us he is, but Johnny is still here.
Okay,
physically,
but he's the host.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's do it. That Joe Rogan used to be the host for that, right?
Yes,
that was Joe.
I think Ludacris did a series or something like that. Not sure.
Man,
I was hanging off the side of a helicopter. Let's do it.
It was always the food though, Luce. Just like having to eat some like spiders or that was always what got people on that. But man,
I would be successful.
If you could eat a tray of roaches, here's $100,000.
It's worth it for the money. I mean, is there anything you wouldn't eat, Brian? You've got the stomach and the iron stomach. I don't think you'd turn anything down.
I could eat a boiled egg.
Oh, that's right.
If you said, listen,
you would do it though. Like if money were on the line, you just don't like it.
If say $50,000 was on the line, I would eat a boiled egg. I just hate the texture of a boiled egg.
Mm.
I hate fried eggs too. I'm sorry. I know all these people love the fried egg on the.
It's one of the greatest foods of all time. The darn eggs. Shout out to the chicken.
The egg
we
is
coming for you, dog.
I'm a fan of the egg. When it comes to the omelet form.
The rubbery texture there.
Yeah, and if you could put some diced ham or sausage in it, or even one of my favorite things is to do biscuits and gravy inside the omelet.
Oh, my gosh. That is
Now
divine.
You're talking. But if you ask me to eat a fried egg, if you put a fried egg on a burger, I am raking that thing off in a heartbeat.
It's such a shame because the yolk. You get the runny yolk on there and everything. It's dripping down your hand. That's
pretty, well.
It's the good stuff right there, man.
Have at it.
Said Ultimate Football Ninja Warrior. That could be fun. 817, remember the old ABC Wild World of Sports show called Superstars?
Superstars. That's from my era. That's when I watched like Wayne Gretzky outrun.
Yeah, he sure did.
Like Wayne Gretzky, they used to have a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
He sure did.
And Wayne Gretzky like smoked some NFL players. Like the superstar thing used to be, and it used to be Battle of the Network Superstars.
Yeah.
So you'd have ABC versus NBC. Yeah, and so like it was pretty cool, but then they had the actual superstars, and you had certain events you picked. So if you didn't want to be weightlifter guy, or you didn't want to be sprinter guy, or swimmer guy, you know that you could pick the events. But Wayne Gretzky. Google that thing.
Yeah, he's fast,
ran like a 4.5 40.
And he was running. This wasn't like wearing skates or anything.
No. He was scooting.
Yeah, all that hockey gear apparently made him faster, dog.
Yeah.
But without that stuff out, he was zooming out there, man.
I'll tell you what, though. We had some terrible outfits that day. Yeah, we wore some bad gear. We had bad gear in the 70s.
That's those hip cut on the shorts.
It was
how they
kinda,
cut into the hip you know for some how, reason
you,
on guys.
You know how?
What are we doing?
You know how some of the issues we're having with some of the track guys with some stuff going on? battle of the superstar, whatever.
I love this idea for the Pro Bowl. I think this would be fun. We can ask Jake Ferguson about this.
Okay.
Not that Jake didn't go this year, but he has been before. So maybe Ferg will have. We'll see what his Pro Bowl memories were, and if he thinks that this would be a fun idea. Because I'm all for it. Because they're not going to play the game. Like they got rid of the game.
Yeah,
they're not doing it. The flag football.
It's ridiculous. The game is ridiculous.
It's silly. There's really no need. We'll hear more of what Jerry Jones had to say this morning with Sean and RJ a little bit later. But in his approach to free agency, how active will he be? Bobby asked me, said, quote, "I don't know. We'll see where we are with our own players. We'll be active, but the question is the degree of activity. I can't imagine not doing things in free agency." Well, I can't imagine them not doing anything in free agency either, but that will be the big question. Is it still, we're bottom fishing here? We're going for our $2 million former first, second round picks that we liked and hoping we can catch lightning in a bottle, which did work for Javonte Williams. But otherwise, you know, Peyton Turner, he hadn't played this year. Kenneth Murray didn't really work out, although that was a trade. Yeah. And then the defensive struggles, quote, "We're not executing. We are not getting done what we even run as a scheme." And so that's very critical to be trite. Again, there's no evasive.
Be trite.
To the point is it's a combination of many things when you can't get pressure or stop the run. It just does not sound like there's much positivity about Matt Eberflus right now, and they're not trying to hide it.
No,
it's a shame.
No, and they're really not. But listen, let's Jerry Jones. If you're driving around, sir, good day. But
good day.
But be honest, him, Steven, anybody that had a hand in the shaping of this staff. Hey, congratulations! Look, you might have got a guy in Shoddy that looks like that he could do some quality things for you. All the things he's endured. But man, they had a hand in bringing Eberflus here. So, you know, you could be disappointed and all that, but just look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yourself. And you know what? You have a really great opportunity here. Hopefully this team, and listen, I'm going to take it from the approach of what they want to do, not what I want to do. I want to lose games and have a better draft pick. That's what I want to do. That's the media member now, the former scout, the guy who wants the better draft pick, because then you and I can talk about it with others and like, hey, how about this player at 12? Yeah. How about this player at 12? How about this player? I want the better pick.
With you?
The guy who used to be in that chair over there, I need to win these last two games. I need to be 8-8-1. That actually means something to me. And I think it means something to Jerry and them. And if in fact that they get to 8-8-1,
sure.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to say, okay, we need to move on from the defensive coordinator, and now we need to go spend some money and build this team. I would hate for them to not have any flexibility with those two picks.
No, I'm
I'd hate it.
And that's why I think and you've talked about this plenty, they've got it. That's got to be a change. Like, they actually made some trades. Awesome. That's fantastic. They did the Pickens thing. That's worked out. I love them being aggressive and going to get Quinnen Williams. I think a lot of that had to do with you did have an extra first-round pick you were able to utilize there.
Yep.
But you've got to prove that you will be actually more aggressive in free agency, and it's not just tier 4 or 5 guys. It is, all right, you don't want to go
don't
the first day.
Fish.
Fine.
Yeah.
But let's get a tier 2 player.
Yeah.
Let's try and be a little bit more aggressive to go ahead and fill out this roster here. And I get it, 903. Shame. Might have been a bad word to use. I'm totally out on the Eberflus experiment. I think for both parties now, much like with Diggs, I think it's good for a separation. I think it'll be good for Flus. Take a year off, man. Recoup, recalibrate, and maybe come back stronger. And for the Cowboys, this clearly has not been a good fit. Last night, though, the Moore hit, baby. Phillip Rivers, 277 yards.
How about that?
He hit the Moore on the 140.5. He started off cooking. 23 of 35, 277, a couple of touchdowns, and the interception. But Brock Purdy was unbelievable. Five touchdowns. McCaffrey added 117 on the ground. Niners at 11-4. They got a big game on Sunday night against the Bears. They win that, you're looking at a possible one seed matchup in the finale against Seattle. Pretty crazy given all the injuries this Niners team has had. And I mentioned it last week. I think this is the best coaching job Kyle Shanahan has done in his career. I've been very critical of him, at times called him overrated, because he hadn't been able to do what he's done this year. When they've had injuries like this, they've had the 6-10 type of year, but they've been able to overcome a lot of that. The key cogs, Trent Williams and McCaffrey, have been there, but no Purdy, for an extended time. No Bosa. Fred Warner's been out. Kittle's been in and out of the lineup. They've been finding ways to win, so big-time victory. But last night I put out, in the second half, like as great of a start as it was for Phillip Rivers, you could see it right before halftime. The poor guy's laboring to push the ball down the field.
Sure he is.
Like, it's incredible what he's done. At 44 years old, he comes off the couch, hasn't played in 5 years.
With a double chin, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
Out there working with a double chin. I feel so inspired.
I mean, he's looking very, you know, very frumpy.
Yep.
He looks like a guy off the couch.
He does, legitimately. Like, he looks like, okay, we're playing like a beer league football game right now in uniform. It's amazing. It's an incredible story. But the Colts are eliminated now. Like, I think we need to be done with the Phillip Rivers thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't want to see anything bad happen. Maybe they technically haven't been eliminated, but they're 8-7. They're not getting in. So to me, I wanted.
How about that?
It was a fun two games.
That team started off, though. Were they like.
I think they were 7-1.
7-1.
Yeah.
And just completely.
They just fell apart.
Fall apart.
They did.
To the point where maybe you thought that they were going to, that our guys there were going to get extensions and all that.
Yeah.
And that lady owner's on the sidelines now. So she knows what's going on.
Mm.
She's hearing it all, but she's probably looking at
it's a big, I mean, hey, I get it. The Daniel Jones stuff stunk. He was playing so well. He gets hurt. Then he's out for the year. But they're running. And offensive line, they've had a couple of injuries. But that's what Jonathan Taylor was an MVP candidate the first 10 weeks of the season. He has totally fallen off. But the defense in the running game gave Phillip Rivers no help.
Yeah, Chris Ballard, you know, is a guy that kind of was maybe on the, you know.
Yeah, him and Steichen.
Kind of fighting for their jobs. And. No, I don't. Maybe the lady owner will understand that give him a mulligan.
They did start so well.
I'll ask you this: Are you guys cool with her being on the sidelines and having a headset on and stuff?
I think it's awesome.
I do too.
I think it's really awesome.
I do think though, having grown up in the Metroplex, being a Cowboy fan, like that's
Jerry
something.
Took a lot of grief
Jerry
for that.
Got toasted.
I used to love when Jerry do that too, especially because you know Cowboys usually losing when he went out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a fire in their behinds. Yeah, I used to love that. It's scream at the
Jerry
TV,
trying to rally the troops.
Yeah,
you
man.
Just see like, him arms folded, standing there on the sideline in the fourth quarter.
He's like General Bradley coming from the back to lead the troops out front.
I used to love that. Or if it's a butt whooping, he'll go out there and start high fiving.
Yeah,
I used to love that too. Like it's over. That's victory formation. Jerry on the sideline.
I kind of, it's like Red Auerbach and a cigar. I kind of like the fact that she's out there. And I like the fact that she cares and is paying attention to her team, you know?
And they galvanized behind her, too. They started wearing shirts with their faces on it.
she's a little different. Yeah. She's a little different, but I'm okay. Like, her dad was a little different. Well, not a little, a lot different.
Mm.
But I like
the fact. Yeah, he was a lot different.
I like the fact that she's down there caring about her team.
Yeah, I think it has been cool. I wonder if she's going to continue to do this forever. Like, there's an element of it. She's learning the team. She's kind of learning the ropes.
You sound very like you're hating on her right now.
No, I'm not hating on it. I think that it's cool right now. I just wonder, is it going to be cool in 5 years if she's still doing it?
If she's learning about her team?
She can learn about the team in other ways. I don't know. I'm just trying not to be hypocritical here because I was a guy that definitely was like, "What the hell is our owner doing on the sideline?"
So you were never a Jerry.
Well, I think it fit into the whole meddling conversation. Like, are you overly involved? Are you trying to coach the team? Should we just put a headset on you and give you a play call sheet? Should you just be calling the offense and the defense right now?
I don't know, man.
You know,
we saw.
I don't think she's going to do that. But
we saw Stephen Jones with the walkie-talkie. What are we doing? I mean, my gosh.
But clearly, for the Colts, gosh, they were such a great story this year, but then it fell apart. It fell apart for our Mavericks as well. That was a disgusting watch in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis was crushing it, and then they just have turnovers. The fourth quarter, they get dominated by the Pelicans. Pelicans get their fifth straight victory. They're now 8-22. Mavs going to be back at it tonight, and the injury report's not looking great for them already. Heading into this back-to-back, Klay Thompson's doubtful.
Nuggets in town, eh?
Boy, he had a great start to the game last night, did Klay. PJ's questionable with a foot injury. Max Christie still doubtful with the illness. So, man, we'll talk more Mavericks a little bit later on the show. But let's get to our G-Bag of the Day. Champ, plus we got our top 10. Who are the top 10 head coaching candidates for 2026? The Ringer has put a list together. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Next in the nation. Nick Harris said he could be wrong, but might be a new visor for linebacker Kenneth Murray out there today. So, hey, I don't know. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. He did put out that he just lives with his head buried in the sand. He's not paying attention to any of the outside noise. Doesn't know what people are saying about him.
That's unfortunate that he's trying to talk himself into that.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Oh, you think he is hearing all the noise?
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
How could he not?
You and I do, Lucius, we all do a lot of work. You know, if people want to say something negative about us, they could do it. We'll hear about it. We'll see it. You know, you can't just live your life like that. I mean, trust me, it's sad. It's sad. It may be the only job that you have where every day, well, maybe the president and government and stuff like that. It's the only job every day where you go to work and you see how your performance is in the paper or on news programs or talk shows every single day. But when a player or a coach tells you they don't hear that,
BS.
There's a family member that if they try, there's probably a family member that said, hey, honey, this is awful. We need to move on. We need to go to another place next year. These people are, this is not, that's somebody in your family is going to tell you.
Yeah, the comments are pretty bad.
Or you're going to find out one way or another. But to say that you don't hear it and you block all that out, you're fooling yourself.
Some of the comments here are like, is it going to help
you this, though,
football, et cetera, et cetera?
That's what I'm saying. He got a new visor. I was so curious about this. Is it prescribed or something?
Yeah. Is he going to help
you?
Is
it got like the bifocal joints at the bottom and, another at the top?
Wow, I can see. It's like, what was our guy? Well, like Turpin.
Oh, Turpin had to get LASIK eye surgery.
Yeah, I'm saying, bro. Yeah. I'm in on everything right now. Like, I couldn't see it coming, coach.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
It wasn't me, man.
I was blind.
Who was our coach with the Buccaneers back in the day? Bruce Arians?
Yeah.
Like, Jameis Winston said he thought Bruce Arians was a black guy.
That's how bad his eyesight was?
Yeah. He goes, man, I went all these years thinking that Bruce Arians was a black guy.
He'd never be a pilot.
No, he could not be a pilot.
Colors, bro.
Just be, I don't know, colorblind in that case. But yeah. I guess he sees better now. Yeah. All right, let's get our G-Bag of the Day champion. Let's send it back into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah, Mr. Broaddus. People do say some negative things about us, and we just have to just keep going about our job.
Just got
to keep hustling, right?
Just power through.
One time I seen something not too long ago. Somebody said something highly flammable about me, and it just wasn't what they said.
Yeah.
It was all the likes, bro. I was like,
other people agree. Yeah, because if it's just one person, like, maybe that's just one person.
It was the likes. I was like, come on, man. Y'all kept it.
Oh, no.
It must be bots.
No.
Yeah, it's the bots.
It's the bots.
It's the bots.
Sleep at night.
Just power on. Yeah. I mean, there are more positive ones than bad ones. Ugh. But you always seem to find the one that's negative.
It's always how it is.
It's always the one that shows up, yep. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. All right, our winner and champ of G-Bag of the Day so far, which happens at 5:30. Stick around. I got some John Blaze for you. I do on a holiday week. We got a Chi-Town couple right here that witnessed a road rage incident. It got crazy and heated, but it's their commentary to the police. They called 911. Commentary is brilliant.
Yeah, we're an Archer and Mead. And there's an accident here, and a guy's out of his car. One's in his car. There's a huge fight going on. Right now. Yes, that's the white one. Yeah. Oh, he just threw a hammer at him.
Oh no, it's an axe. It's an axe.
He just threw an axe at him. Oh, he just hit his car.
Car.
Yeah, Archer and Mead, you got to get here in a hurry.
Oh God, they're probably gonna kill each other.
He just rear-ended the pickup truck in his.
Oh, he's getting out.
His bags went off.
He's getting out. Oh, no.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's getting in his car now.
Oh, he's about to...
Holy s***.
Oh.
Everybody's ass is out. Wait, don't get out, Tom. Do not get out.
Everybody's ass is out.
Oh, gosh.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man, you should see the video. It's really wild.
Everybody's ass is out. Okay, let's get into the Wooly Bully Top 10. 877-881-1053. There wasn't really a great national day today, and I saw this list of the top 10 head coaching candidates. Now, this is courtesy of
the
Ringer.
This ought to be exciting.
It's who... Some of these names are like, really? We're doing this again?
These are coaches for NFL jobs?
For NFL head coaching jobs.
All right.
Yep. These are some of the candidates.
By the way, can I say something real quick?
Please do.
Lucius, I went back.
Would you? Oh, no.
There's these... I can't help ordering stuff online.
Okay, what'd you buy now?
There's a company called Authentic Brand Merchandise that do, like, bands.
Hey-o!
And they do music groups and tours and stuff like that. Went back and got me the MTV. Lucius, you inspired me to do this. You have an MTV hat.
Yeah, that dad hat MTV.
Yeah,
I wear it with my Michael Jackson shirt sometimes. Yeah. I'm on my Madonna shirt.
That's a good look.
Lucius brought me back. I saw that hat, and I'm like, man, I kind of like that look. So I went and I ordered an MTV eye-catching T-shirt. It's a Spring Break 1987 logo.
Nice.
From back when. I was at LSU.
Nice.
But they had this, like when they were doing all that. If you've never seen MTV Spring Break.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
content.
I used to sit against the door so my mom just couldn't walk in as I'm watching it because there's girls dancing in bikinis on the beach.
It was crazy. It was crazy what they did. Ed Lover and all. They had quite a
and
crew.
And the cameraman went to work. He was on his knees and everything getting shots for you.
He knew what he was doing.
They got it all. They got it all. But see, I had to order because Lucius's hat. I said, man, I got to get me something from MTV. So I went and ordered the 1987 Spring Break shirt that as a throwback.
When are you going to wear it?
I might wear it. It's here.
You got to wear it on vacation when you're good and tanned up.
Yeah.
Kind of liquored up when you got that shirt on.
Kind of liquored up. I might
some
wear it.
Fireball shots.
I'll tell you what I do. I might wear it at the I don't want to jinx the.
Spring training?
No, I don't want to jinx the hockey team. I was going to say something. I don't want to say because I'm thinking.
If that happens.
Of that parade. You know?
I get that.
So I'm not going to jinx them.
Hopefully
I might break it out for that if we win.
Stars, by the way, in action tonight against the Red Wings.
Yep.
Playing Detroit. That's an early puck drop. I think it's a 5:30 puck drop at Little Caesars Arena. So we'll be able to watch the beginning of that one. Well, yeah, I think we can get that one on here. All right, here are the Ringer's top 10 head coaching candidates. Now, honorable mentions here, they did have Clayton Adams of your Cowboys. He was on this list. I would hate to lose him.
I would, too.
I would not be happy about
that. But that'd be a good hire for somebody because it seems like he knows what the hell he's doing.
He does seem like he knows what he's doing.
He's pretty honest up there at the media about, like, we're not very good right now. We got to get better, you know. There we go.
if the Cowboys are winning more games, it might be easier to overlook Adams' complete lack of play-calling experience. But that's typically what teams are looking for when they hire an offensive-minded head coach. Adams hasn't called plays, but he has helped build solid offensive lines in multiple stops in his coaching career. Pass pro and run blocking can be just as vital to offensive success as quarterback play.
Generally, these offensive line coaches make pretty good head coaches. I know we've had some that haven't been so successful, but...
But there has been Mike Munchak.
Yeah, but like I remember like Bill Callahan when Bill Callahan was with the Raiders, and then you know he went on to some other places. But I mean, there's been some guys. I remember like Joe Bugle was bad for Arizona.
Joe Bugle,
and he was the line coach for the Hawks in Washington back in the day. Yeah,
John Runyon days.
No. Like way back in the day. Mark May, like in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. Like he was the line coach.
Damn.
Joe Bugle.
Didn't work out. Arthur Smith is an honorable mention on here. Like, I don't get that. Arthur Smith with the Steelers. He failed with Atlanta. He was with the Titans before. Like, that's
some people
just...
are saying that maybe he's kind of figuring some things out. Probably not.
Really?
I don't
know. He is a fogey.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that'd be an absolute awful hire, but who knows? Sometimes when you say that, it ends up being good. Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, he should be higher. I think Marcus Freeman's a stud.
I think Marcus Freeman is very good, man.
Star.
Yeah, I kind of feel like though that he it'd be interesting to see. I think the players would like playing for him.
That's the college to the pro deal.
Yeah. Maybe it's got a jump,
and not everybody's had success.
Maybe he's got some Jimmy Johnson to him that way.
Might Clint Kubiak Boy, were we talking Clint Kubiak's name last year, especially after that New Orleans game. He's been in Seattle, and that offense in Seattle has been absolutely fantastic. When he was with the Vikings for one season in 2021, then he took the job in Denver. That, of course, that entire staff gets blown out. Eventually gets to New Orleans. They had a good year until they all got hurt last year, started 3-0. And then this year in Seattle, they've been humming along. JSN's been fantastic.
So he went from being fired to finding his feet in Seattle.
Yep.
And then now he's a head coach and
number 12 on this list.
Wow.
And then Jeff Hafley of the Packers is the last
OLI. He actually has head coaching experience. He was at Boston College.
Yes, he was the defensive coordinator at Boston College and head coach. And they're seventh in the league now.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been a really good defense there with Green Bay. I mean, he's done a good job the last couple of years. He's been there since 2024. Top 10 in sack rate, expected points added, pass rush success rate.
We'll see how good he is without Micah Parsons.
That'll be a big question. Yeah. And I hope it's not very good. I hope they lose out this year. That'd be nice. Anthony Weaver at number 10. I think that's also a reach, right? Head coach.
Yeah. Anthony Weaver was a head coach somewhere?
I think he was. Wasn't he in Denver?
He was a head coach?
Yeah, I think he was.
I don't think
or maybe he was an interim.
Was he? Look, that we need to look that one up. I didn't think Anthony Weaver would have been a head coach.
I thought he might have spent time as one. He's been a 3-4 defense guy, 14 seasons in the league. He's Miami's defensive coordinator. I mean, has Miami's defense really shown you enough to go and get Anthony Weaver here? I don't know. I mean, they have been playing better lately. I'll say
that. What's the text saying? Is text saying he was a head coach?
Text just shouting out Spring Breakers right now.
Oh,
which
okay.
I don't blame you. You know, keep that going. He was with Miami. He was the assistant head coach, D-line coach with the Ravens, D-line coach with the Browns. Oh, he was our North Texas linebackers coach in 2011. Let's go, baby. UNT.
And then bounced back into the league, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right after that, he came over to the Jets as the assistant defensive line coach. He has had a lot of stops here.
Yeah.
But run game coordinator, I think assistant head coach is all he's been.
All right.
Maybe Anthony Lynn, I think, is who I was thinking
of. You were
of.
Thinking of Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn was with
Denver. That would be correct.
Yep. Will Chambers actually just texted me and said, you're thinking of Anthony Lynn. He was in Denver.
Go back to drinking, Will.
Lou Anarumo coming in at number 9.
Okay, you know why people like him?
Yeah.
He's never been a head coach.
He's not a crazy flip because he gets fired from Cincinnati. Yeah. Now, obviously, that might not have been him. That defense is still really bad.
Yeah.
And then they've been much better with the Colts.
They were thinking about Al Golden and all that. They were enamored with him, and that has not worked out one bit. But they like Lou a lot because he hasn't had that. He doesn't have the stain of a guy being fired as a head coach.
Yeah.
Like the work husband.
Yeah.
He's better than the actual husband because he's never making the mistakes that the actual husband makes.
Yeah.
He's, not leaving issues and stuff everywhere for you to be upset about.
Brian.
He's always got a sandwich for you.
Always has the sandwich ready.
Yeah, where my hug?
Hey, what do you need? Where's my hug at?
Does the work husband, he's a killer, right? For relationships, right? The work husband?
Yeah, he can be for sure.
Over time?
Yeah.
Just kind of waits for the right moment?
Yeah.
If you see the
Jody? Yeah, you got to watch out for Jody.
If you see the work husband at the holiday party, do you take a swing at him if you find out?
Nope. Unless he knows you, guy, y'all have hung out, y'all have bowled or something, y'all have done some couple thing, then you could confront him. But if you don't know this guy, it is what it is. That's on your own lady. That's on your significant other.
That's on her, huh?
Yeah. And they're good at it, too. They'll introduce you to the guy. And this is Fred. He's real nice. And you're driving home like, I like that Fred guy.
So sweet.
Whole time, that's the work husband.
Hey, let's go get a beer sometime.
Man, he's so sweet, man. He loves the Steelers.
So, like, this work husband, like, could he be too nice to kind of protect himself? Like, do you think, like, work husband
somewhat
overly...
Somewhat of a facade here.
Not to the lady, but, like, to the husband? Like, be real nice? Like, oh, he'll never think of me if I'm really nice to him or something like that.
Yeah, I watch that too. I would. I watch it all.
Can you tell, Lucius?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think you can be suspicious. Sometimes people are just a little too friendly. Like, is something going on there?
All of my wife's friends are like old guys or gay guys.
Yeah.
So I can't ever tell.
Are you sure?
Gay guys.
All gay guys.
Or it's just like an apprentice to Chuck and Larry, where they're just pretending to
playing
be
playing a game. Boy, that's a hell of a ruse. They're pulling on me, I'll tell you, if that's
next
what they're
thing
doing.
You know, hey, oh, yeah, I'll try on this lingerie in front of you.
The old gay guys.
Let me zip you up.
The old gay guys is quite a pair when you see them. You wonder. You just want. You're like, oh, that's cute.
Are you sure?
Statistically, most affairs start at the workplace, is the 979. And Will is back with the fan. You can hear him on
Will
the weekends.
Yes, Will is back with the
filling
fan.
In sometimes at the 817.
I think he's working. He's working New Year's Day.
There you go. I knew Will would get his way back in radio. He's just too good. Brian Flores comes in at 8. I'm sure he is going to generate some interest. Yeah. Todd Monken, surprise, because the Ravens have not been good this year. He comes in at number 7. He's their offensive coordinator.
I kind of think that's kind of from days gone by.
Just longevity?
Yeah.
Then you got Jesse Minter with the Chargers.
I'll tell you what, that son of a gun, he's pretty sharp. Now, the stain on him is how much does he know about all
the stuff that
went on Michigan? You know, that's something you got to kind of dig in on him.
Spags coming in at 5. I wonder if he's going to get another shot.
Spags needs to just stay
be a defensive coordinator.
Just be a defensive coordinator.
Joe Brady, former Tiger, coming in at number 4.
I'll tell you what, Joe Brady might be okay. I thought Joe Brady was going to get the Penn State job. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought he had a chance. When that thing kept going and going and going, I kind of felt like that maybe he had a shot at it.
Cliff comes in at 3. Mike McCarthy at 2.
Huh.
Woo. But number 1 is Robert Saleh.
Bob Saleh.
A lot of momentum that Bob Saleh is going to get back, get himself a head coaching opportunity. I mean, look, that Jets defense was good and then has been atrocious.
I think Bob Saleh knows what he's doing.
He definitely does on the defensive side of the ball. And look, it's hard to win in New York. Nobody's really had success with that. All right, there is the top 10. Let's get a college football darty in, shall we? A rivalry in jeopardy. More games on campus. And our guy taking shots at Notre.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Your name, that's next. Thank you, L.A. Halftime of the Boca Raton Bowl. This is the Bush's Baked Beans Boca Raton Bowl, where if you brought a can of Bush's Baked Beans, you got in for free. It's a big part of trying to get people to go and check out Louisville versus Toledo. Holy Toledo! 7-3, Louisville up at half.
Yeah, I think we got a bowl game in Frisco tonight, too.
Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Ohio's involved, right?
UNLV.
UNLV.
He's playing Ohio.
Dan Mullen in town.
Fighting Dan Mullins. It's going to be 8 o'clock. We got the New Orleans Bowl coming up after this Bush's Boca Raton Bowl.
Is that the Arnold Carriers Bowl? Is that still doing that?
I think that's it does not have
no sponsor?
A sponsor right now. It's just the New Orleans Bowl.
Oh,
so
wow.
So maybe Arnold Carriers dropped out.
Remember when you guys like in North Texas were like going down there? I thought it was
lost to Troy.
Yeah.
Who was the head coach was Neil Brown. He's now our head coach.
Yeah.
So it all came full circle from the North Texas being green, Western Kentucky and Southern Miss playing in that one. But before we get to David Hellman at the top of the hour, let's get into a college football darty.
Well, looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, f***ing joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get... They bring the head cold.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much strain.
Texas A&M wide receiver KC Concepcion, he has declared for the NFL draft.
He is
the former NC State Wildcat transferring to A&M, and he had a tremendous year. 61 catches, 919 yards, 9 touchdowns, big weapon in the return game, super explosive, fluid athlete, and right now generating some first round buzz. I'm excited to see how he tests, because he could have a blazing 40 time potentially there in Indy, but the Aggies will be losing quite a weapon there with KC Concepcion.
I'll tell you what I really liked about him. I saw him play against Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. They threw him the ball on the 4-yard line going in, and it's like Mississippi State had all kinds of tacklers in position. He just powered through those guys.
Yeah.
I believe he's like 5'11", 190 pounds. He's kind of that perfect height and weight for, but man, he has got some serious skills with ball in hand.
Super special.
Yeah.
He really, really is. Yep. And somebody's, I mean, with the return game element of it as well, I think somebody will probably covet him right now, maybe bottom of the first round. We'll see. His stock could end up improving. Now, Joey McGuire, we've got all the coaches are doing their press conferences now, getting ready for the quarterfinal. Joey was asked about the current college football playoff and the format. And, well, he had these comments. I think he's made great comments overall, but I know Notre Dame fans didn't love this.
But I do think that when you have a criteria of where you're going to select a team, everybody should be in that same criteria. So, and I'm going to make Notre Dame mad, but being a conference and you're in the playoffs. I mean, they're in the ACC, they're in the playoffs. And that's nothing against. Like Marcus Freeman, I think he's an absolute rock star. I would want my son to play for Marcus Freeman. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, like, let's make it across the board that everybody's measured the same.
I think that's interesting and a good point. He went on to say, you know, maybe the group of six, group of five, much like we talked about Danny Cannell last week. Like, do they eventually end up just doing their own playoff, right? Because, again, if we're following the same criteria, their schedules maybe a little bit it is easier than going through a full SEC or a Big 12 or a Big 10 schedule. So he mentions this about Notre Dame, and there are teams like BYU and USC now who are ending their rivalries with Notre Dame because they're independent, and now they got the okay from the committee that they'd be an automatic qualifier for the 12-team CFP.
If they're in the 12.
If they're ranked in the top 12.
Right.
If they're ranked in the top 12, since they're not in a conference. So now USC is pulling from their agreement, and Notre Dame also announced it's open date in 2026 now with BYU is what it was. So effectively that's ending the rivalry with USC, and now you're not looking at getting it back until maybe the 2030s. And USC people are upset about this. Like Keyshawn Johnson put out on social media, former USC Trojan, number one overall pick in the draft, Dallas Cowboy. He took shots at Lincoln Riley. He's like, I don't know what the F is going on with our athletic department. We got people in there that are not Trojans, that don't know anything about being a Trojan running our athletic department. Right. We got a head coach that knows nothing about being a Trojan. Why don't we just not play football? How about that? We're not going to play Notre Dame again until possibly 2030 is what I'm understanding. That doesn't make any sense. I grew up on the Notre Dame-USC rivalry, and I'm not one to go in on my athletic department, nor am I one to go in my head coach. But if I can remember correctly, I had Lincoln Riley saying, well, I don't know if I want to play them in the future. You ain't going to be here in the future, said Keyshawn.
This is interesting because the Notre Dame-USC rivalry goes back to Newt Rockne. It goes back that far.
A lot of tradition.
A lot of tradition. And then it was a way for Notre Dame to play a game on the West Coast. And USC was that team. And so this is really, in a way, I think there's got to be better ways of doing this. You know, this whole the Power Five and all that. What if they had a play-in game for the 12th spot? Whoever team number 12 was, you know, the last team, you have to have say Power Five team is already or the 13th team. You're not in. You're not in. But you have to play number 12 to get in. So if you could beat number 12, you're in.
Okay.
If not,
You're out.
And then 12 gets to play, you know, then you get that game.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to make it to where, you know, it's like you're giving the Power Five a chance, but you got to win your way in.
Just a guarantee.
Yeah.
Hey, you're in.
It's just not a guarantee.
Yeah. You don't get the automatic bid.
You don't get the automatic bid.
I can see that.
You have to play your way in, you know, what I think would be the best way to do it. I don't know. It's just there's so much money involved, and I don't blame these athletic departments and presidents of universities and stuff for the way they schedule now and stuff like that. Because really, it is about the money. You've got to
for sure.
Your budget now for what you have to pay for your athletic department with NIL and the guarantee of money for athletes to come in and all that.
It's getting crazy.
It's crazy.
It is.
So any money grab they're going to go for. I can't say you're wrong about that.
No, I mean, the Notre Dame thing, I don't think they are going to ever join a conference. I do think they're scheduling, if that's their case, they need to schedule better, a stronger schedule.
Well,
the last years they've kind of had cakewalks minus the first two games of the season.
They used to play the Big Ten all the time. Michigan would play them. Michigan State would play them. Purdue would play them. They had more games.
And now it's just been the ACC, been a down conference.
Well, they have to play the ACC because
they're a basketball school, right?
Well, the ACC houses all their other Olympic sports.
There you go.
So everything that Notre Dame needs, like the SEC wouldn't take Notre Dame and say, okay, we'll take all your sports, but no to football. The Big Ten's not going to say no. Well, they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
the ACC actually says, sure, we'll take your Olympic sports, and fine, you could be an independent and play a few of our ACC teams, but actually, Notre Dame needs the ACC more than. But if I told you this, if Notre Dame were to join the ACC, the ACC would become a powerful conference.
Agreed.
Because you have Notre Dame.
The power of Notre Dame football.
The power of Notre Dame football.
No question.
Yeah.
Ryan Day is going to assume Ohio State play calling duties because Brian Hartline's now left.
Yeah.
So he's going to do the USF job. And, of course, Ryan Day's been one of the best play callers in all of college football. I don't think that's going to be a negative there for Ohio State. The last thing we'll get to here in the Darty, just because it's a quick cut, and we'll get back to more when we do the finest at 5. We got football fix at 4. But Jeremiah Smith. Oh, this is going to be fun. So Jeremiah Smith is a Florida kid. We have Ohio State hosting Miami here at the Cotton Bowl New Year's Eve. And here was Jeremiah Smith asked about that 2002 game. They still talking about that in Miami?
I mean, you see all over the internet, all over Twitter, they still talking about that, you know, 20 years later, but they still worry about it. But we got something for them come New Year's Eve.
It's going to be fun. Like the trash talk between these two schools, the fan bases. Miami's been waiting 20-plus years to get their shot back at the Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for this. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll get more college football for you, of course, coming up later on in the show. We got our buddy David Hellman, co-host of the Athletic Football Show, joining us on the other side. That's next year on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.